Hi, welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be learning Parshas Terumah. In the beginning of the Parsha, Bnei Yisrael are asked to donate materials for the Mishkan. They ask to donate them for our own sake. It says, V'yikchu li Terumah, that they may take for me a donation, not V'yitnu li Terumah, that they will give for me a donation. Don't think you're giving here, you're taking, you're benefiting. You can have the honor of being a part in building the Mishkan. The Mishkan, which is going to be a place for Hashem's Shechina to reside on this earth, if we can even conceptualize what that means. And we're asked to donate gold and silver and copper and textiles and different kinds of animal skins, and wood and stones and oils and spices for the Ketores. And then the parasha describes the Mishkan and all the kelim, all the vessels that are inside of it. So first of all, we have the Oren, which is going to be kept in the Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies, and that stores the Luchos, and we're told exactly how to make it, we're told the materials that it's made of, we're told the exact measurements, we're told the details of every single part of it, of the Kaporis, and the Keruvim that sit on top of it, and the crown that goes around the edge, and so on. And then we're told about the Shulchan, that's kept in the Kodesh, and that holds the Lechem HaPanim. And again, we're told the specifics of how to make that down to the very, very finest details. And same with the menorah also. We're given the instructions for every flower, every knob, and the menorah also stays in the Kodesh. And then we're given the details for the construction of the Mishkan itself. The Mishkan was a portable structure. So it was made of beams, the Kerashim, and the Adonim, which are sockets that the beams sit inside of, and poles that run through them and connect them. They're called the Brichim. And there are coverings, and there are curtains, and there are hooks. Again, down to the very, very last detail of how many hooks. And then finally, we're given the instructions for how to construct the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the altar made of copper. And that's situated in the Chotzer, the courtyard, outside of the Kodesh. So again, in terms of the vessels of the Mishkan in this week's parasha, we have the Aron in the Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies. We have the Shulchan and the Menorah in the Kodesh. We have the Mizbeach HaNechoshes in the Chatzar, and the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden Mizbeach, that comes in next week's parasha. And then we have the components of the actual Mishkan itself this week. We have the beams, we have the sockets, we have the curtains, and we have the covers. Now, many parashas later, in Parashas Kisavai in Sefer Devarim, we're told about the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah of bringing first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash replaced the Mishkan as a permanent structure once the Jews were in Eretz Israel. And the Pasuk in Parashas Kisavai says that we should bring these first fruits to the place El Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha L'Shaken Shmo Sham, to the place that Hashem will choose to rest his name there. Now this is a very, very wordy way of saying this, right? The Torah is careful with every single word. And it seems like it could have just said, bring your first fruits to Yerushalayim or bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? El Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha L'Shaken Shmo Sham. Bring it to the place that Hashem will choose to rest his name there. And there's a very moving and profound answer from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he explains to us that the reason it writes it this way is because any place in which a Jew reveals Hashem's name, that becomes like Yerushalayim. Any place that we make spiritual, to which we bring spirituality, that's a place that Hashem chooses to rest his name there. Meaning the Shechina is not limited to the Mishkan or to the Beis HaMikdash or to Yerushalayim or even to Eretz Yisrael. Rather, Hashem chooses to rest his name wherever we choose to reveal him. And this idea is massively, massively important at a time when we don't have a Mishkan and we don't have centralized worship. But what do we have instead? Instead, we have the possibility and the opportunity to bring Hashem's Shechina to any place in which we may be. And I'd like to focus on this idea for a bit, and to focus on it specifically in the context of two of the kelim that we have in this week's parasha, in the context of the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. So there's a pasuk in Yecheskel Mem Aleph that describes a vision of the Navi Yecheskel, a vision that he had about the Mizbeach. So the pasuk says, HaMizbeach eitz shalosh amos gavoya. He saw in his vision, he saw a wooden altar, a Mizbeach of wood, that was 3 amos high, v'orkosh 2 amos, and it was 2 amos long, and it had inner corners, the arkay a kiros of 8, and its length and its walls were of wood. And then by Yadaber Eli, Ze Hashulchan Ashelifne Hashem. And he said to me, This is the table that stands before Hashem. Now there's something very odd in this pasuk, and the Gemara asks this question in three places. It asks in Brachos and in Chagiga and in Menachos. It starts by describing a Mizbeach, HaMizbeach Eit Shalosh Amos Gavoya, and then the whole description of the Mizbeach. And the pasuk ends by saying, Ze HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the Shulchan that's before Hashem. So was the vision of Yecheskel here, was the vision about the Mizbeach, or was the vision about the Shulchan? And the Gemara answers, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, a Mizbeach used to be mechaper for a person's Averis. If a person sinned, and he needed atonement for his sins, he brought a carbon on the Mizbeach, and that provided atonement for him. But since the time that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and we no longer have this Mizbeach for atonement anymore, a person's personal table, a person's personal Shulchan, does the job of the Mizbeach, and his mechaper atones for his sins. Our personal tables, our shulchan, can be elevated to the level of the Mizbeach, can be elevated to the level of the altar. And this is an idea we're somewhat familiar with. We know that tables are like a Mizbeach. We don't sit on it because it's like a Mizbeach. We make sure to always have salt on our table because the Mizbeach always had salt on it. But back to the idea of our shulchan, our table, being able to atone for our sins like the Mizbeach. How? How do we elevate a meal of spaghetti bolognese to become like the Mizbeach of Hashem, the altar of Hashem? And Rashi and the Gemara tells us that the way this is elevated is through Hachnasas Archem, is through welcoming guests. There's an Avos to Reb Nosson that tells us that once Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai and his Talmud Reb Yehoshua, they were leaving Yerushalayim after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Talmud Reb Yehoshua, the student, he looked at the destroyed Beis HaMikdash and he said, "Oi, what's going to happen? The place where we always until now got kapara for our virus, the place where we always got atonement for our sins, it's ruined. What's going to happen to us when we have sins?" And Reb Yochanan said to him, "Don't worry, don't be stressed. We still have a possibility to get kapara that's just as effective as the Mizbeach, and that's chesed. When we invite people into our homes, when we share a meal with them, we elevate that meal to an extent that our table becomes like a Mizbeach, and we make our homes into a mikdash, into a place where Hashem chooses to rest his shechinah there." Now, we often talk about the concept of elevating the physical in Judaism, that unlike other religions where their separation between physical and spiritual worship and service are one thing, and a nice meal is another thing, that's physical pleasure and that's contradiction to the spiritual. In Judaism, we believe that we can elevate the physical and we can integrate it into the spiritual. The Rambam talks about this in the Shemoneh Prakim. He talks about how everything that we do, all of our activities, all our actions, can be synchronized towards the same goal of serving Hashem. All our physical activities, like eating, exercise, listening to music, sleep, they're not separate to the goal of coming close to Hashem. They can potentially be a part of that goal, depending on how they're done, depending on our intentions. So an amazing meal can be a spiritual experience if it's eaten to honor Shabbos, or it's eaten to honor Yom Tov, or even if it's just eaten to energize us to continue living a spiritual life, it can be elevated from a physical meal to something really spiritual. Now listen to this. There's quite a well-known mashal from Rosh Shalom Shwadron about a father who was making a wedding of his youngest son, and he had two other sons who lived in distant communities. And he sent them an invitation to say, "Please come to the wedding, get yourselves prepared for the wedding, get your families dressed and ready for this wedding. And I'm promising you in advance that anything that you spend in my honor, I'm going to refund for you." Now his oldest son was well-to-do, and he went out and he bought furs and diamonds and new shoes for all the children and beautiful clothing. And he rented a fabulous carriage to take him to his father's village. And he pulled up looking magnificent, looking honorable, his whole family looking honorable. Now the second son was very poor. So even though the father had promised that he'll refund everything spent in his honor, he just didn't have the money to lay out for anything. So he shows up at his father's village looking shabby, clothing all worn, the kids' shoes are torn, not looking great. At the end of the week of the celebrations, the older son goes to his father with a bill. And he says, "These are all the things that I spent on the wedding." And the father says, "Okay, that's very nice." And the son says, "You promised you'd pay me back for everything that I spent." And the father says, "I never said any such thing." And the son says, "I have it in writing." And he took out the letter from his father and he said, "See, you wrote right here, everything I spent in your honor, you'll repay." And the father says, "Ah, you see, I said everything you spend in my honor, I will repay. You know how I know that you didn't spend any of this in my honor, but you did it all for yourself? Because look how your brother showed up at the wedding. If you would have cared about my honor, if you'd have been doing this for me, then you'd have made sure that your brother also looked respectable. But you didn't. And that tells me that you really just cared about your own honor and your own self-respect. It was nothing to do with my honor. So, says the Maggid, it's the same thing with us. We can justify an amazing meal. It's Lakavod Shabbos. It's to energize me. It's to mobilize me to learn more Torah, to do more mitzvahs. Hashem, it's for you. It's for your honor. However, big however, if we don't also make sure that our brothers and sisters enjoy the meal too, if there are other hungry Jews who are lonely or not eating or eating by themselves, how can we say that this is for Hashem's honor and it's not just for our own taste buds and for our own bellies? To elevate our table, to elevate our meal to the level of the Mizbeach, our eating has to be L'shem Shamayim. It has to be for the sake of heaven. And how do we do that? How do we demonstrate that? By making sure that everybody else is also taken care of. Otherwise, the concern is that we didn't do it for Hashem's honor, but we did it for our own honor. We did it for our own bellies. In the Rabbeinu Bachya's commentary on the Pasuk in this parasha describing the Shulchan, he discusses the same idea that we discussed based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel that we read about elevating a person's personal Shulchan to the status of the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. And he also adds that there was a particular minhag in France to make a person's casket, to make a person's coffin that you're buried in after 120 out of your dining room table. As evidence of Hachnasas Archim, as evidence of the people that we hosted. After 120, when everything's said and done, we can't take anything with us. We don't take our beautiful homes, we don't take our beautiful silverware, we don't take our beautiful dishes, but what we do take with us is what we did for others. What we take with us is the people that we welcome to our table. Our shulchan, our table in our home, is our personal mizbeach, it's our personal altar in our personal mikdash. Have a great week.